Welcome to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining me on Three Dimensional Wealth. I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf. And today I have David Smith with me, and I have a manuscript in front of me, and it's a book that David has written. It's called A New Man Code: Becoming Men of Conviction in a World of Compromise. And so, Dave, we are glad to have you with us. Are you there?
I'm here, Roe. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Well, let me give a little intro about the author here, and then we'll talk about what you've got in your book. But you've got plenty of years, in fact, over 20 years of experience in general management, running a variety of businesses in sports, travel, software, to name a few industries. You've worked with private equity firms providing management consulting and leadership development services. You've been executive vice president for sales and marketing with a number of firms, and you were the president of Steiner Sports. So if you're Yankee fans and you see that Steiner Sports out in left field, you'll know what we're talking about. Dave was also with American Express for more than 10 years as a general manager in marketing. He has his MBA from Harvard and a BA from Trinity, resides in New York, and now is the managing director of Priority Associates. And we're going to let you tell us about Priority Associates in a minute. But one of the statements from your book said, "My entire life had been dedicated to a plan that did not deliver." So here it is, 20 years of doing all this stuff. What does that mean, Dave?
Well, really what it was to try to get to the top, and for me that was in the business world. And I actually exceeded a lot of the goals that I had set out as a kid, both professionally and personally. And that's actually from a situation I was standing. I had a nice office overlooking the Statue of Liberty, and I really had thought I had made it, yet there was a profound sense of emptiness that I was feeling. And that was very frustrating for me because considering all the sweat and toil I put into moving up the corporate ladder and all the sacrifices and compromises that I made to get there, you know, I was flabbergasted by the fact that I could feel empty, that I could still have this void in my life. And that was really a challenge to try to figure out what to do because, you know, where do you go from there when your whole life has been scheduled to get to this point and it's not fulfilling?
You know, as a financial consultant, years and years, it was 30 years into practice and I'd see clients coming in. And the same thing over and over again. They had accumulated financial assets and resources and wealth, and yet financially they were successful. Personally, they were bankrupt. You know, their marriages had fallen apart. Their kids are goofed up. And they said, you know, where did I go wrong in this? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you mentioned was that, you know, we become performance junkies. You know, yeah. We prefer the rules over the relationship. We're obsessed with progress over the process. And maybe you can pick up on what you mean by that and where you think it led you in particular.
Well, I think that the book is really focused on men and a lot of the issues that we wrestle with internally that we never talk about. And I think that was the big challenge that I had was I was asking myself this question, is this all there is? But there was no one really to turn to talk about that. And, you know, part of that is as men, we have this inclination for performance, and we're always trying to climb the next hill. So it's always about what's next, what can I do? And really what that's about is we have a culture that really is focused on results. It's focused on winners, not losers. It's focused on what have you done for me lately. And I think as men, we sort of get caught up into that vicious cycle. So everything about our life is about what we accomplished. The challenge for that and the challenge that I found is you accomplish many things, but then the question that you haven't answered is why. Why are we going for these things? Where's the meaning? Where's the fulfillment? Because you accomplish more and more and more, and all it is another accomplishment. And that's what I felt, and I spent a lot of time sitting with guys like myself, and I think there are a lot of guys who are feeling that same thing. Why do I feel empty? Why am I unfulfilled? Where's the meaning of my life?
You referred to a New York Times article, and it said, time-pressed Americans increasingly want to buy their serenity off the shelf, and countless companies line up to sell it to them in the form of personal consultants, specialized video games, vitamins, yoga, massage, biofeedback, self-help books, and hypnotism training. And you said for men, it boils down to three emotions. Now, this is a G-rated show, but you said they're either happy, hungry, or horny. I think you nailed it.
Right. Well, and I think that part of that challenge is that we develop a sense of entitlement. So we've worked hard, we've sacrificed, we're trying to put out, and so we feel like we need to indulge ourselves. And this is what I call keeping up with the Joneses on steroids. And that's basically what we're at. We always have to have something better than someone else. We're never satisfied with what we have. We always have to do better than the next guy. And I think when you add that kind of heightened anxiety with the performance culture, you just get guys who just get on this treadmill. And I find with a lot of guys, I know I felt this myself, was, you sort of look up and it's like, my life is just getting out ahead of me, and I'm not really a part of it. I'm just on this treadmill that's just going, and I'm not even sure why I'm there. And so I think a lot of guys are want to have discussions and dialogues, and this is one of the themes of the book. They want to have discussions and dialogues about these issues, but there's nowhere to have that conversation. I know I never had any friends that we could really talk about, and frankly, guys, we don't talk any longer than the length of a ball game commercial anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, and you did. You talked about relationships and,
mm-hmm.
and men having, I guess, problems with relationships or having them be shallow relationships. And one of the things, again, you said the foundation of my relationships is based upon what I can get rather than what I can give. And so they were more transactional relationships, you
mm-hmm.
mentioned, as opposed to deeper ones, and they were one-sided.
Yeah, I think that, the statement I make is that performance junkies don't have relationships. We conduct transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is we don't really communicate with others, we negotiate. And whether that's, in a relationship where we're, love is nothing more than a chit to get sex, or whether, friendship is nothing more than just moving our own agenda ahead, it's easy to get caught up in a performance environment where, you and I are only going to be friends as long as you can help me. And when you're in that kind of transactional relationship, that's not really how you build long-term relationships with your customers. That's not how you build long-term relationships within your organization. And the problem with a performance environment and transactional relationships is those spill over into your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So, all of a sudden your relationship with your wife is conditional. As long as as long as you're being a good wife, I'll be a good husband. And as soon as you're not being a good wife, then I'm not going to be a good husband. That's not the commitment we made at the altar. That's a conditional relationship. Same thing with your kids. How much condition of your love is placed in order, in their lives. And I think as men, we all know what that's like from our fathers before. And so if we're not careful about these transactional relationships, they can leak into our personal life, and that can cause real damage for our kids.
Yeah, you had a line here. I said, I underlined it in my manuscript. I said, nowadays it's till death do us part really means for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and that's very true. I mean, I think that, guys look, we're not looking at marital commitments, just commitments in general. As what they are, which is a commitment for eternity, that instead we look at them and say, well, as long as as long as it's helping me or I feel good about it, then I'm going to participate. As soon as I don't feel good, then I'm going to step out. Well, that's not really a man of character. That's just someone who's trying to be in a win-win situation.
Now, what happens, I guess, is that when you have these transactional relationships and you go along and you're isolated, you start to get some emptiness, you're alone, fear creeps in, and, you know, again, if you're by yourself, what do you do?
Right.
And then you see that over and over again, as from what you've told me in your discussions with numerous men over the years.
Well, you know, I open up in the book about my own personal experience about what happened when I started to question things and I got a little crack in the armor and things started to go south instead of north. The description that I had was, you know, when I was climbing up the corporate ladder, you know, my eyes were fixed on that goal. You know, I had no problem stepping on people's hands on the way to get up. The problem is when you get way up there and you look down, you realize it's a long, long fall. And when that happens, for me anyway, you start to hold on to that ladder like a kid in a tree, and you get paralyzed. And so things started to creep into my mind. You know, first of all, I'm dealing with this sense that what I've been doing my whole life is not going to fulfill me. Secondly, is I'm feeling vulnerable in my current situation at work. And as guys, we never talk about that. You can go play 18 holes of golf with a buddy, or you can spend the whole day at a ball game and never talk about anything of depth. And so for me, I thought I was the only guy. And so I isolated myself. I was uncomfortable about that. Certain parts of it I was ashamed. But there was never a guy to talk about. So I just internalized all that, sort of sucked it up, if you will. And that just made the situation worse. And I think what I'm trying to highlight here is, as men, we have these three afflictions of our inner man: emptiness, fear, and isolation. And I think that if you talk to almost any guy you know, you know, a family member, a friend, a work colleague, you know, a buddy from college, almost without exception, they are dealing with one or two of those three elements. And yet, we're never talking about it. We isolate ourselves, we try to deal with it on our own, I can fix myself, and all that does is make the situation worse. Plus, the ramifications of those three afflictions manifest themselves in relationships at home and at work. And so, you know, to think that we as men can take those problems and ignore them or hide them and they're not going to have an impact, that's crazy. That's why, as a gender, we're not growing the way we could.
And we're going to be back and talk about a new man code right after this break. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analysis, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with David Smith, who is the Managing Director of Priority Associates, and we're discussing his new book, soon to come out. But I have it in manuscript form, and the book is A New Man Code, Becoming Men of Conviction in a World of Compromise. And so as we talked earlier about, some of the problems that men go through and their emptiness and fear and isolation that results in the relationships that they don't develop, one of the questions that you pose in here is, am I worthy? You know, and how do I know what my purpose is? And do I just exist? So drill down on that, if you would, Dave, because I think that's a big, big point.
Yeah, what we were speaking about before is that as men, you know, we're sort of performance-oriented and we set a lot of goals. And those are sort of the what's in our life. The challenge is that we can accomplish those goals every year and still not know the why. What is the purpose? What is the real meaning in my life? And part of the piece that's sort of sitting behind that why is the answer to the question of, am I worthy? And I think that that's where a lot of guys are wrestling. And particularly if you think about performance at work, that's an area that guys are trying to demonstrate that they are worthy. But here's the issue with that, is every guy needs to ask the question, who's going to answer that for me? Am I worthy? Is it your dad? Is it your boss? Is it your work colleagues, your buddies from college, your wife, the women that you're dating? And the problem with that is if you're using those as the people that are going to answer, if they say yes today, how are you going to feel tomorrow? What if they change their opinion? So in other words, if one of them is providing you with the answer to, am I worthy, you're always going to be a slave to their opinion. And that's part of the challenge for a lot of guys, is they're looking externally for an answer to, am I worthy, and they don't have the internal answer to that. And that also manifests in the sense of purpose, because am I worthy is a direct line to what is my purpose. And what is meaning? And in Rick Warren's book, he talks a lot about the fact that, you know, the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. And so the challenge for us as men is not to be thinking about ourselves, but to be thinking about a purpose beyond ourselves. And that's something that, we need to find a way to spend time really thinking through that.
Well, there's two things, I think. Is one is we go around oblivious, and we've got this blind spot that we don't even know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is really what you call the man code 101.
Right.
And it's that unwritten law or code that we've grown up with. And it's crept in, and it says, you know, this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can just read a section of your book, because I think it nails it, it says, you know, who wrote the man code? I've never read the man code. Have you? Certainly the man code exists. It's been schooling every guy I've known since we were kids, regardless of background, education, or ethnicity. Try that one for me.
Ethnicity.
Thank you. My infant son is getting input already. Baloney, you say. There is no covert set of concepts influencing men's attitudes, actions, and behaviors. Okay, do any of these sound familiar to you? Now, here it is, comes in. Man Code 101 says, you know, walk it off, and you're dealing with physical injury. You know, keep cool, dealing with emotional injury. Don't rat on your buddies, dealing with perjury. Suck it up, dealing with persecution. Every man for himself, dealing with the world. Hide your weaknesses, dealing with other men. You know, boys will be boys, dealing with women. Never ask for help, dealing with the unknown. And don't admit your failures, dealing with reality. And where'd you hear them? In the fifth grade recess, Uncle Bob, you know. All of this came along somewhere, and it's that hidden. It's unwritten, but it's there. Isn't that right?
Well, what's amazing about these, you know, these parts of the man code is that almost every guy you talk to is familiar with them.
Yeah.
Almost every guy practiced them. It's like you said, it's unwritten, yet we adhere to them. And my question is, why? You know, who decided that these were good? Who came up with them? Who decided that we all had to follow them? It's one of these things that I think a lot of guys do. We just take it for granted because other guys are doing it, but we don't really think it through or think about what the implications are. When I talk about my personal situation that I went through, wrestling with challenges at work and at home, I live by Man Code 101, and it was devastating for me. It was detrimental. I made lots of stupid judgments because I didn't want to show my weaknesses. I didn't want to admit my failures. Every man for himself. This is a way we live as a gender of men, and I think it's a mistake. Yet we never talk about it. We never question it. And I think that a lot of guys would agree with me. And when, you know, we meet in a lot of groups of small groups, large groups of men, we bring these up, everyone nods their head, and we wonder why we all agree to it and continue to follow it. I equate it to the He-Man Woman Haters Club. You know, if you think that that's preposterous, why are we following this unwritten code?
Yeah. So you talk about having a masculinity makeover that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we do that?
Well, here's what I'm really talking about, Roy, is the fact that our culture is defining who we are as men. And that's irritating to me because who is it that's really defining? You know, this whole thing with the metrosexual and the ubersexual and all this kind of stuff that you see in the media about how we're supposed to dress and how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to eat. I mean, this stuff is everywhere, and there are a lot of guys who are following it. And for me personally, it's confusing. I'm not sure who came up with it, but when I started to do some research on it, what I really found out is the people who are defining what we are supposed to be as men are mostly marketing executives from beer companies, magazines, you know, clothing companies. They're defining what men are supposed to be. And my question is, are they really concerned about who we men are supposed to be, or do they really just want to sell more magazines, more beer, and more jeans? And that's the frustrating part to me, and I can't believe that more men aren't aware and cognizant of this and asking the question of, you know, why are we living by an unwritten code, and why are we allowing the culture to define who we are as men?
Okay. Well, what we're saying is that we're really basing our whole life on human approval, and then that we have to follow somebody else's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any hope?
Well, you know, that's the thing that I'm really trying to get at, is to try to get us as men to be thinking differently, to think more from an internal standpoint. So much of our world is external. The performance environment, this unwritten man code, this new definition for who men are, and the reality is what are we from the internal, and what are we from the eternal? What's our long-term destiny? And so what I'm trying to get guys to start to think about is what is the foundation of our worldview, and what is the source of hope that we can have for who we are as men? That's going to be outside the circumstance, which we know our circumstances change from day to day. So how do we find something more eternal that we can put our hope in, rather than just putting our hope into the short-term, fluctuations or vagrancies of the marketplace?
You mentioned Martin Luther King. I mean, and all men. I mean, even him, he says, I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. And he says, and at that moment, I experienced the presence of God, and I have never experienced him before. He said, God appeared, and fear disappeared. Is that what happens?
Well, you know, this was a story, it was a very powerful story I read about early in the Civil Rights Movement, when his coalition was beginning to fracture. And Martin Luther King was afraid, and in fact he wanted to step out. He just didn't really feel that he was capable of doing it. And what he's saying here is that at the point where he became powerless was when he became empowered, and God was the source of that power. And that is where there's a source of hope as well. And what I'm trying to do is introduce to guys the fact that God is real and God is relevant in our lives. Now, we may have grown up in the church. If you were like me, you probably knew, when at Christmas and Easter, you knew who God was, you knew who Jesus was, but he's never really been relevant in our lives. And we tend to write him off without really doing the homework to know who he is and how he can work in our lives. And as we go through the book, I talk a lot about my experience and experience of a lot of other folks, men, successful men like Dr. King, who have God as the source that provides that inner strength that we really need to be leaders and influencers in our culture.
You gave a great definition in here. You said God is an artist, an architect, a mathematician, a scientist. Provocative and fascinating, he is a brilliant general and a wise judge, a compassionate counselor, and a caring father. He is true, pure, and forever consistent. God holds us accountable for our actions, yet loves us like his sons. I think a great definition here. We're going to take a break, Dave. We will be back, and we're going to talk about a new man code. So stay tuned for more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analysis, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to three-dimensional wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of three-dimensional wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
Welcome back. We're discussing a new book, which is A New Man Code, Becoming Men of Conviction in a World of Compromise. And the author is with me, David Smith. And David has a whole 20 years plus of business experience, successful, reached his way to the top. And yet when he got there, he realized that there was something missing. And he needed to make a change. Can men change?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I had a... I think a lot of people think that we're sort of locked into to who we are from early on, and I think a lot of us have trouble with change. I mean, the challenge with change, I think, first and foremost, is that guys don't want to change, because change means that we have to admit that we were wrong, and we all know that we don't want to admit that we're wrong. And change means that we have to try things new, and I think a lot of us are creatures of habit in many ways. I know I am. So change has some uncomfortable pieces about it. And in fact, you know, my experience is the only thing that really leads to change is crisis. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's a sad thing, because in guys' personal and professional lives, a lot of times they're not willing to really take a hard look at who they are and making some change happen unless they get in a train wreck. And I just hate that. I work with a lot of guys, and you know, you can see a train wreck about to happen. And unfortunately, you can share what you want with guys, but they're resistant to change until they hit that wall. And I hate to see it happen, but it happens time and time again.
Do we have to wait? my dad used to tell me, Roey, you have to be smart enough to be dumb enough to do what I tell you.
Right.
And he says, you know, learn from my mistakes. You know, the smart man learns from his own mistakes, but the wise man learns from the mistakes of others.
Right.
And so I was smart enough to say, okay, listen, Pop, I'll pay attention, and so I don't have to go through some of those things that other ones do. But, I mean, is the train wreck inevitable? Is that what you see most often?
Well, I don't think the train wreck is inevitable. I just see it happen a lot. I think part of the problem is that we all have, as kids growing up, sort of a picture in our mind of the type of leader or hero or influencer that we're going to be. And we sort of put ourselves on a trajectory to try to reach that. And what I've seen is a lot of guys, you know, in your 20s, you got your head down and you're just trying to shoot for that point. But, you know, in your 30s, you start to look up and you start to see that that trajectory may not match up to the trajectory you're on, may not match up to those expectations. And that's the then comes into the question of, okay, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to that? And I think a lot of guys, they just keep plugging away at the same thing, expecting different results, and we all know that that's not going to work. And the other problem that we have is a lot of the change tactics that we try are just behavioral modification.
Mm-hmm.
We see that a lot in business with a lot of the corporate programs that I used to be a part of, whether that's through, you know, performance appraisals or incentive plans. I mean, the reality is those things are just, you know, old uses of the old carrot and stick. And, you know, we think that, you know, applying a carrot and stick is going to create long-term change, but it only works as long as the impetus is there. As soon as you take the carrot away or the stick away, you know, people fall back to their old habits. And I think that's true with guys, is that we're trying to take a carrot and stick approach to our life, and it's not going to have a long-term impact.
And you use the phrase, though, transformation.
Yeah.
How does that work, then?
Well, transformation is about real lasting change, but transformation comes from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the
okay.
big difference, is that, you know, most of the methods that we use from change come from the outside in, but transformation comes from the inside out, and it starts with the heart. And I would say, you know, one of the easiest, if you want to know the difference between change and transformation, an easy example of that we all know is you know, from the Christmas Carol. And just the transformation that happened there, I mean, it's a pretty simple example. You can see the beginning, the end of what happened to Scrooge from where he was before to what he became. And so when we're talking about transformation, we're talking about changes in people's lives that are unmistakable.
And you can see the difference when you have transformation?
Yeah, I mean, when a man goes through transformation, every aspect of their life changes.
So you can't hide it?
No, it's not a nominal change, it's not incremental change, and that's the thing that I think a lot of guys are frustrated with is, you know, when we look at our lives, we want something that's going to last. We don't want another incremental change or something on the margin. We want something that's going to make a real difference in our life, that's going to really change our perspective at work and at home. And transformation, it's powerful, but it comes from the inside, and it realigns everything in your life.
If that's the case, and you're transforming into what? I mean, what kind of man? How do you measure up as a man, then?
Well, that's a great question, Roy, and I think that's one of the challenges that we have. And, you know, when I got out of business school, you know, men model other men. We look for examples to follow. And we all have different examples in our life, whether it's a successful business person or a sports hero or, a celebrity or a writer. There's someone that we look at and we say, that's who I want to be. The problem that we've had is that when you get closer to who that individual is, you often start to see the real warts and blemishes. There was a particular successful businessman that was my hero. That's who I wanted to be, and I was going to do everything during my career to be like, to emulate that individual. And there were practices of his that I applied at business. But over the years, the more you got to see about him, you started to see, you know, things come out about his personal life, things that happened at work that were inappropriate, and you started to see him break down in the reality of who he was. And I think that's part of the problem, is the heroes that we have are not really the men that we could be.
All right, and so you mentioned a man for all men as the standard.
Yeah, that's Jesus. And I think that the thing about Jesus, there's a quote that I use here from Bono, who said, you know, Bono, the lead singer for U2, who is extraordinarily successful and a very cool guy who's also having a tremendous impact on third world relief. Bono said, if only we could all be a bit more like Jesus, the world would be transformed. And my question is why would a guy like Bono think that Jesus is the ultimate hero? And part of that is because there's a lot of I think that we ask that question because there's a lot of misconceptions about who Jesus really was. And what I would encourage guys to do is really take the time to learn who Jesus was, because in my view, and I think in Bono's view and many other men's view, Jesus is the only man that the closer you get to him, the more powerful he becomes. He's the only one who looks better closer in. And that's the kind of man we want to emulate.
And so if we're doing that, we talk about, I think most men that I know, they want to be men of influence then.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to emulate somebody, you better emulate somebody without the warts and blemishes if you're going to be a leader with influence.
Yeah, the quote that I love the most was from Dr. Martin Luther King when he said of Jesus, he says, Jesus stands as the most influential figure that ever entered human history. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as one solitary life. And this was, we can all acknowledge that. This was a guy who never held a title. He never owned a home. He was a man who was different than anyone else, but he had more influence, more impact on the world. His story is being told by more people today, by millions and millions of people more than were told when he was around. And I think as men, one of our inherent desires is to be significant.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be counted. We want to make a difference in the world. That's ultimately what we're looking to do, is to establish a legacy where people are telling our story after we've left. And Jesus is an example of a man who had profound personal influence. He held no title or position. All of this was through his personal influence, and that ultimately came from his internal character.
It's interesting. The reason why we developed and we went down the route of what we call three-dimensional wealth is because we found that it was not just about financial wealth, and that people could have a personal legacy and the wisdom they have and the beliefs they have, and they could pass it on, and that, in fact, we could be strategic in preserving and capturing and enhancing and perpetuating that, as well as their social wealth, how they're going to make a difference. And so we found that if we could help develop their personal wealth, their financial wealth, and their social wealth in totality, they would be much wealthier. And so that's what we're finding, and I think that being men of influence is a very important part of that. We're going to take one final break, and we will be back with our final section of three-dimensional wealth, and we're going to close up with a new man code, so stay tuned.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest.
Podcast, brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
With every choice we make, there's a consequence. Good ones and bad ones. Choices, Get It Right with Work and Life with Lisa J. Whaley deals with the importance of understanding and being comfortable with the consequences of personal and professional choices we make. More than ever, professionals have the tools and technology, cell phones, emails, Blackberries, that allow them to be accessible 24/7 and always on. The lines between work and life are more blurred than ever. It's difficult to determine where one ends and the other begins. Each week on Choices, Get It Right with Work and Life, Lisa and her expert guests discuss topics to assist professionals as they explore the dynamics of their individual life-work equation and begin the process of implementing positive and meaningful changes that result in leading fulfilling personal and professional lives based on your own definition of success. Choices, Get It Right with Work and Life with Lisa J. Whaley, broadcast each Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Choices, Get It Right with Work and Life. Have the life and career that you've always dreamed of with the power of choice.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roy Diefendorf.
I'm here with David Smith, and we're going to talk about a new man code. We talked about man code 101, but as we wrap up this section, I want to talk about a new man code. What does that mean specifically?
Well, what we talked about is about transformation from the inside out, and it's a change in men from the inside out. And the center of that piece is having God at the center of who we are as men. Because with God's Spirit as our center, both our inner man and our outer man become one. The afflictions that hampered our growth in the past get vanquished. Our emptiness is filled with God's purpose for our life. Our fear is defeated, replaced by hope in something eternal. And our isolation has been bridged by an intimacy with God that we've never had before. And as a result of that, we are whole beings. We're re-energized and we're impassioned once again. And that's what I'm really trying to talk about, is get guys passionate again about their lives. And in terms of the new man code, what I suggest is the following, and these are the components of the new man code. Our identity is defined in God. We trust God and trust others. Character is the new currency. Relational excellence is a priority, and trustworthiness is the means. We lead with a wise heart. We are authentic, accepting, and available. We serve others rather than solve others. And most importantly is no man is left behind. And that's a big part of the practical application of what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I was thinking you're talking, I mean, our audience is hundreds, thousands, they tell me, but millions of men need to be hearing this new man code. I'll tell you, Dave, this is critical. And no man left behind is really sort of that call for solidarity in the brotherhood of men that says, hey, we need to stick together in order to get this and to be able to stick with it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, relationships with other men is a very powerful development tool. And there are a few things that happens when we're together with other guys and we start to talk about issues that matter. We get validation of our experiences. We get wise counsel and advice. Mm-hmm. We get examples to follow. We get encouragement and exhortation. And we get companionship as men in the challenges that we face as men.
So how do you do that? I mean, you want to get those experiences, you want to have counsel. What's, give me a practical solution to accomplish those.
Well, the easiest way to get started is what I suggest in the book is call up four buddies that you know, invite them out to your garage, pull up four or five folding metal chairs, pour some coffee, and start asking some questions. And I throw out some questions here which are important questions that we don't often ask, and I'll just throw a few of these.
Okay.
Are you nagged by a lack of meaning and fulfillment in your life? Ever feel like you're all alone, as if you're carrying the burdens of life by yourself? What are you struggling with most? What gives you the worst anxiety? What's your biggest fear, the one you won't share with your wife or girlfriend? If you were free to do anything, what would you do or be? And one that I think is really powerful, do you sense that God cares about you, and does that matter in your life? And I think that if guys get together, naturally it's going to be uncomfortable at the beginning, but I think that as men, we want to talk about these issues. There's just no safe place that we can actually do it. And I think out in your garage or another guy's garage, guys can sit down and really start to discuss it. And my experience has been when you start to get to these issues, a couple of guys start to open up about authentically about what's going on inside them, you can really see real help for one another. And it will be a very powerful experience. So I encourage guys to give it a try and see what happens.
Dave, before I forget, how can someone get a copy? I mean, the book's not out yet. Or how can they reach you or Priority Associates? Give us a website, a telephone number, some way that we might be able to communicate with you if we want to.
The best way to reach us is here in New York. The number is 212-370-1125, extension 210. And you can call us, and we'd be happy to help share more about the book, send out a copy. We have a curriculum that goes with it and some ideas for how we as men can come together and start to address these issues collectively.
One of the things that you talked about that would come out of this are different components of character, mm-hmm. being humility, that's a tough one, integrity, mm-hmm. and self-control. I'll tell you, if you can help your buddy with those, we've come a long way, huh?
Yeah, well, I think that those are the foundation for a heart transformation, manifests itself in becoming a man of character. And my feeling, Roey, is that the days of the performance culture are waning, and I think there's going to be a time ahead of us when character is going to be the new currency. I think that's already happening in business. I think the way we're going to be evaluated is not going to be based on what we do, but on who we are. And I think that's the critical thing for guys. That's what I'm talking about in terms of becoming men of conviction in a world of compromise, is how do you go against the tide and be someone, a man of character, as opposed to someone who's just compromising, conforming to the culture to do what's best. And I think that there's a real change. I call it the reformation of man, and I believe that's on board right now.
I'll tell you, I agree with you, but we are swimming up against the tide because, I see some of the organizations and the businesses and what they're doing and the way they tell the new people coming in. In order for you to be successful, this is what you need to do. You've got to work 6.5 days a week. You've got to be in, from 8 in the morning till midnight every day. This is what it takes. And I'm going, boy, that's a lie.
Yeah.
If that's what it takes to be successful, financially successful, that may be. But in totality, you're running for a train wreck.
Yeah, and I think that, just looking at business, talking about building customer relationships, customers buy from people they trust. And trust is based on personal character. You have to be trustworthy first before you can earn their trust. And so ultimately that's the bottom line definition for an individual and for a company. And so I think the sooner companies can begin to focus on and address the issue of the personal character of their employees, the better business they're going to be. And for you, as you know, in your business, whether you run a business or work in a business, you're going to build stronger relationships with clients by being a man of character. And that is going to play into your home life as well. Because, listen, we've been called to be husbands and fathers, and it's a sad statement when, you know, half of our marriages are failing, and our kids are the ones who suffer. And my question to men in general is, you know, aren't we tired of being an 8-8 team? Aren't we tired of being mediocre? Mm-hmm. Don't we want to be the best man out there? And don't we want to take the steps required to get our own act together to be the best husband, the best father, the best, you know, leader at work and in the community? And I think there's an opportunity if we come together to be a better man, not just the man that is accepted in the culture today, but the man that we were designed to be.
In fact, you said the man, the old man code is holding us back. Man code 101, which was founded on self. And then you say, you want to leave a heritage for future generations? Demand a better man code. And that's the man code you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you've done a great job on this, Dave. And I'll tell you, it's a great read. You've had some terrific examples of not only your life in transformation, and I know you're still a work in process, but the lives of other men and how they have gone from point A to point B and on their way to point C through adopting a new man code. So, Dave Smith, I want to thank you again for joining me this past hour. It's gone quickly. And I hope that the listeners have enjoyed our discussion. I hope they'll reach out and look for this book when it comes out. And I invite you to join me next week at the same time for more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.